In casual American language, certain regions have come up with a third person plural. Y'all for Southerners and yous for Northeasterners and people in New Jersey, my home state. But as for a gender neutral pronoun, a new candidate has emerged out of Baltimore, Maryland. Teachers and linguists started to notice kids using the word yo, but not as a greeting, more like to replace he or she. Let me give you a few examples. Yo put his foot up. Yo threw a thumbtack at me. Yo handing out papers. So a study was done, and the results were published in American Speech by a Johns Hopkins education professor. We're going to talk about this in detail in a moment, but instead of my bad rendition, let's listen to some reporting done by Stephanie Marudis. She headed out to the Baltimore Career Academy, a high school in Baltimore, so we could hear yo in action.
You can use yo to substitute like a noun or something, you know, for your name, for an object or something like that. Hey, yo, you see the football game last night? Instead of saying, you know, A.D. Andre or something, you could just say, yeah. You say, you see yo over there across the street, something like that.
Especially when you know somebody's name and you don't want to call them out their name, then yeah, you say yo said. Or you trying to describe somebody and the other person be like, oh yeah, I remember yo.
Yeah,
but you don't never know their name. Instead of calling them out their name, just be like, yo said such and such. Or yo that always come in the store said such and such. If you don't know his name, you don't want to call him out his name either. So.
Got it? Okay, listening in on the line is Campbell Leeper, UC Santa Cruz professor of psychology, focusing on gender and language. Hi, Campbell.
Hi. Glad to be here.
So you heard the tape, and I know you've read the report. Can you sum up for us what's significant about the way the word yo is used in these occasions?
For many years, people have often used he to refer generically to he or she. And in the last 20 years, it's been more common for people to say he or she instead of just saying he when referring to the generic. But there is no gender-neutral pronoun as occurs in other languages like Chinese or Persian and Hungarian and so forth. And writers have suggested using making up terms, but these generally don't work because it's pretty hard to institute language change from the top down. Languages do change over the years, but it occurs from the bottom up. So for an example would be what's occurring in this community where they are using yo to refer to he or she generically. So that's pretty significant.
I wonder if you have any thoughts on the actual word yo that these kids have come up with. I mean, it originated sort of from the military. You said, yeah, present, yo. Kids started using school like, yo, I'm here, or yo, like the word hey. Any ideas, any thoughts on why the word yo would be chosen as this neutral pronoun?
Well, as you just mentioned, sometimes yo has been used just to sort of as an attention getter, like, you know, you mentioned you're from New Jersey, I'm from New Jersey also, and so that was often kind of a common thing that, you know, a lot of your listeners maybe, you know, you hear from watching The Sopranos or something like, you know, hey, yo. So that might have been partly how it got started, and then also there's the possibility that it became associated with just you, so saying yo, short for you, which is common in many communities.
So what problems could this solve? What if yo catches on? What if suddenly one day I turn on Good Morning America and Diane Sawyer is using yo instead of he or she?
Well,
I mean, why is there a need for this?
Yeah, right. You know, starting in the 1980s, a lot of style guides started saying, you know, don't use the he generically, use he or she, or use the plural. And so whenever you're trying to create some sort of change, there's typically a backlash. And the argument against using he is that it's sexist, is that the generic he is privileging males as the general case. And a lot of people poo-poo that and say, oh, that's just really a trivial matter. That doesn't really affect the way I think. The philosopher Benjamin Worf is famous amongst people who study language for articulating the idea that language shapes thought, that the words that we use affect how we think because we put things in these categories. So correspondingly, one idea might be that the masculine generic, using that regularly, gets people to mainly think in terms of males in their imagery. And there have been various studies that have tested that hypothesis in psychology, and indeed that tends to occur, is that if you give people stories that are written in the masculine generic, and then you ask them sort of what were you imagining about that, you know, typically they come up with stories about males. Now, if you're a girl growing up and the language uses the masculine generic, it's just one of the many ways in which girls and women sort of come to understand that it's a man's world. So ideally, you know, when it's not relevant, it'd be nice if we had a language that doesn't specify gender.
How does English compare to other language in terms of its gender neutrality?
It's kind of in the middle. So you could have some of the Romance languages like Spanish and French where every noun just about is gendered. You know, you have the masculine form and the feminine form. And so...
Oh, I know. Senor Cook beat that into my head.
There you go.
From grade 9 to 12.
There you go. There's no way to avoid it. So there's no... So for example, if you want to refer to Latinos generically, you have to use them. You know, you use the masculine form with O at the end, or you say Latinos and Latinas. So there is no general gender-neutral form there. Conversely, there are other forms like Chinese and Farsi and Turkish and Hungarian and Filipino, where the pronouns are gender neutral, so you don't have this problem. So English is somewhere between the two because there are ways we can get around it.
You mentioned that the way language changes and evolves, rarely from the top down, sometimes it must start organically with people changing it to fit their lives and their habits and their needs. So in terms of this word yo, what would it take for it to spread?
Probably a lot of language change often occurs through popular culture. Often it's younger generations that lead to change because they're not as wedded to the old ways of speaking and doing things. And language is always changing. It's never fixed. That's like one of the most common responses I get from students when I talk about these kinds of topics in class. It's like, well, that's the way the language is. But language is never fixed. 1,000 years ago, if we went to England and we were hearing people speaking English, we probably couldn't even understand most of what they're saying because the words were so different. They've changed so much over the centuries.
Do you think you could imagine yourself using yo as a gender-neutral pronoun in the future, Professor?
Sure, why not?
All right, I'm going to ask you to try it. And when you next time you do it, I want you to email it to me, and I want you to tell me how people react.
Okay.
Is that
I'll
a deal?
Try to do that. Sure.
All right. Campbell Leeper is a professor of psychology focusing on gender and language at UC Santa Cruz. Thanks a lot.
You're most welcome.